All right, Corby, let's go live. I just want to talk about the thing we're going to do today. Imagine, everybody, if you're living now, if your life is, let's say, but a single chapter in a book filled with lives you've already lived, and everyone is shaping who you are today. Well, our guest today is someone who can guide us through those pages. Meet Reverend Corby Mitlide, a top U.S. Psychic medium, certified tarot master, and an ordained minister who's been reading for over 50 years. She's a full-time intuitive counselor with a global clientele and is featured in Robert Schwartz's groundbreaking series on karma and pre-birth planning, your soul's path and your soul's gift and your soul's love. Corby specializes in past life retrieval and analysis, helping us explore those earlier chapters in our soul's journey. Her book, Clean Out Your Life Closet, encourages you to write your own story of change based on your history, your life experience, and your personal goals, whether you began in this life or a previous life. So prepare to unlock the mysteries of your past to better understand your present. We're going to be talking about all things amazing and Corby, and I can't wait to get into this and find out where we can take it. So here we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Funny Way of Looking, where diverse voices meet open minds. We're live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on afunnywayoflooking.com. You can always find this on your favorite podcast if you just want to listen in while you're working out. We have amazing guests like Corby Mitlide today, and I can't wait to talk about past lives. Hello, Corby. How are you?
Rocking and rolling, my friend. It's good to be here.
I would normally start out a different way, but I want to jump right into this today because I am fascinated about past lives. I want to know, how did you get into doing past life regression and, you know, just becoming involved in past lives?
Okay, right there, there's a mistake, and I want to correct that.
I do not do
past life regression, and it's really important that your people know the difference between regression and retrieval.
Okay.
Past life regression must only be done by a certified hypnotherapist or past life regression specialist. Okay. Why? Because you are the one that goes up to your Akashic. You could see a traumatic event, a grisly death, and they know how to pull you back just enough so that you can observe it, but not literally relive it. What I do is very different and in some ways safer. I do retrieval, which means you come to me with an obsession, a phobia, a situation. I'm the one that can go up to the Akashic in trance, bring down the information for you. The information is still valid, but again, there's that slight distance for you so you can take in the information and feel safe.
That makes a lot of sense because you and I talked about some fears we had. One of mine is, we don't want to talk about
legless wonders. Call them legless wonders.
Legless wonders. Yeah. Yeah, mine was so bad, like even looking at pictures, I was like, don't know what's wrong. Yeah.
Me too.
Yes. Same? Okay. Bro, I'll tell you. How did you get into the whole past life retrieval then?
This was very early on my path. I was doing a rebirthing session back in the 80s. And for some reason, at that point, I had an obsession with a lead singer in a Philadelphia rock band. If you're from Philly, you might be able to figure it out. All of a sudden, in the rebirthing session, I saw myself as a short little butter blonde. He was taller. This was 18th century Scotland. And what I got was I was the local round heels at a tavern. He was the local lord. He got me pregnant, and there was a whole contretemps there. Now, my background in history at Brown was Tudor England, 18th century Scotland. I knew from nothing. But we were able to, with a friend, pull out the various players. In fact, this guy's retainer was another guy in the band, but I couldn't get a name. So we were sitting over linguine and clam sauce at a mainline restaurant, and all of a sudden I heard Marcus Baron Gordon Huntley. And I'm thinking, what's the two titles? Because a Marquis is a title. So what do you do when you're trying to figure out mm-hmm. old British nobility? You go to Debrett's peerage. It has everybody from 900 years. In 1753 was born Alexander, 12th Marquess of Huntly. In 1784, he was named Baron Gordon of Huntly, Marquess Baron Gordon of Huntly.
Did this just came to you like while you were like doing your
reading? Waiting in clam sauce.
And I checked out this woman's life, and it was everything that I had seen. Once I realized what the past life lesson was, which was, he wasn't yours last time, and he's not going to be yours this time, the obsession disappeared. We remember past lives when we have something to let go of. The interesting thing also was that the lead singer could have been twins with the World War I pilot I found out I was about 8 years later. Wow. So there may have been that, you know, recognizing resonance because of the face.
Let's talk about something. I want to understand, how does understanding, I guess, past lives like contribute to our current life?
We come in with things we work on.
Okay.
And sometimes we don't know where they're from. But if we see that they are from a past life, it helps. That's why I don't just go find past lives because maybe they're fun. I ask people for a phobia or an obsession or a person or a place that means so much to them, they don't know why. Not like mm-hmm. the example of me with this guy. And the story that I use on that is, a woman came to me and said, I'm really worried about my son. He's 29 years old. He will not do anything important without talking with me first. He will not even live more than a mile from me. What is going on? This is not normal. So I went, dropped into trance, and I said, okay, I'm seeing World War II, Utah Beach. So this is D-Day. Your son is a soldier who stormed the beach. He's got shrapnel in his leg. He's bleeding out. You're his commanding officer. So you crawl out. You drag him over a dune to keep him safe. You take some shrapnel too, but you both live. And I opened my eyes and she says, can you see my rank? And I said, yeah, you were a sergeant. She goes, he's called me Sarge since he was 3 years old and we've never known why. So right there, she was able to see that the life-saving dependence from one life bled through into this one, no pun intended. Okay. And she was able to explain it to her son and help him decouple himself from that desperate need.
Wow. Wow. Okay. How does one like access past lives? Like walk us through the process of how somebody accesses their past lives, or how do you access their past lives?
When we accept the draft notice from the universe, hello, you're working for me. The universe goes checking to see what we are good at. Mm-hmm. It's why psychics have specialties. With me, actress in New York, words are my drug of choice. So mm-hmm. I love the stories that cards will tell. But I was also a history major. I love history. So if you presented two visions to me and to somebody else who does past lives but doesn't have my background, that person might say, well, I see you in a long skirt and a big hat. It's a very ornate building. I guess this is somewhere in Europe, maybe in the 19th century. I could see the exact same thing and go, hobble skirt, picture hat, that kind of ostrich feather. You're standing in front of the Brandenburg Gate. So this is Berlin in 1911 or 12. On the other hand, do not ask me to draw a piece of spirit art because I can't do a stick figure with a sharp pencil, a lot of prayer, not my wheelhouse. So the way we access, and you can do what I do, I am telling all of you, do not look at a psychic and think, oh, they have powers I would never have. Mm-hmm. We are all wired like the same house plan. If you work it, if you truly want the skill, it'll take work, but you can gain it. So you look at things like, what am I afraid of? What am I obsessed about? You can do guided meditations. Rob and his wife, Lee, help you do between life stuff. A past life regressionist will bring you up to the Akashic. On my YouTube channel, I have a guided meditation for meeting your higher self. That's your soul in totality. And there you can look at past lives in the Akashic Record books. So you have to get out of this plane and learn to go upstairs to where the Akashic Records are.
And, you know, it's pretty amazing to me. It's like we've got things like deja vu. We've got things where we remember the past, and we've got unexplainable fears. We've got all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that all part of past life, or is it something that we're just remembering all of a sudden, like deja vu, like, oh, that was something that weird? How does that tie
in? It changes from time to time. For instance, another past life that I remember is from the World War I, and I didn't key on that until 1991, when I went to a place called the Old Rhinebeck Aerodrome here in upstate New York. They are a flying museum, and they have planes that go from 1909 Blériots to Barnstormers. And that is where I first saw the World War I planes that I flew in the war. Before that, I was just, you know, your typical kid. I was afraid of Germans. All Germans were Nazis. I knew nothing about World War I. Mm-hmm. But when I saw those planes, it was like a silent explosion in my head. I watched them fly, and the two things I thought were, I flew that one, and there's a story. All of a sudden, in 24 hours, I wanted to speak German. I wanted to learn all about the war. I recognized certain faces. Now, there were certain reasons, you know, personal reasons, why I had to remember that life. Mm-hmm. And that assisted me in fixing some things in this life that were off kilter. On the other hand, why did I come in not wanting children and knowing at 13 I wasn't going to have kids? Is because I was able to see in my immediate past life, I died because I was allowed to die by some ignorant nurses in a Chicago hospital. They called it childbed fever. It's sepsis. It's an awful way to die. So this time, the body said, no, we want to distance ourselves from that. We want to live a good, full life. So no kids. I tell people I was born without the mommy gene, but I'm a terrific aunt.
So do you believe in that case, in like soul planning, or is it more, do we have free will, these things
we have both
from the past lives, or how does that work?
No, we have free will. Let's take a look at college. Okay. All right, Michael, you decide that you are going to be a physics major. So you go to NYU and you register as a physics major. Well, then you have to choose your courses, and you can take gut courses or double major plus lab. Either way, you're going to graduate with a physics degree. Mm-hmm. When we come down here, our pre-birth plan is like that physics degree. But whether we learn it by having a more easy life because we figure out these are all the good things I need to do, or like me, you're a stubborn rebel, and so you do double major plus lab, and your life is full of trauma. Either way, you graduate having learned what you need to know. So you can have both a pre-birth plan and free will.
Okay. So who actually helps with determining that pre-birth plan? Is it myself that determines that, or somebody else? Or
Michael, you and I are recipes, one and done. It is our full soul and the guides that the soul has that sits down, speaks with other souls, and you kind of blueprint everything out. For instance, my soul has a best friend, and that's the soul that came in as my father this time. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the soul had put so much on this personality's plate, it knew that I would need a best friend as a father. So my best friend's soul agreed to play my father in this lifetime. We even had the same birthday. We were both March 8th.
Really? So mm-hmm. So why do we keep having these lives over and over? And when does it end? Like, is there a reason that we're doing all this? Or
it's what? Because we bring knowledge back to the soul. I use the white room example. If you were in a white room with white carpeting and white furniture and white curtains and white walls, and the piano only had white keys, you would have no concept of plaid. So the idea is, because there is no duality, no limitation when you're out of the body, in order to learn those kinds of things, we're sent down here.
And for what higher purpose? What's the
end goal? To bring knowledge back and understanding to the soul.
Okay. And
the way I explain it, because a lot of people don't understand, well, what's my soul and what am I? Let's take the actor Matt Smith. Okay. Matt was the 11th Doctor. He was my doctor on Doctor Who. But when Matt was done playing the Doctor, he hung up the bow tie and the couture pants. And then for two seasons, he became Prince Philip on the first two seasons of The Crown. So that was Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth. When he was done playing that role, he hung up the prince suit. And now he's some whack job on House of the Dragon. Matt Smith is like the soul. The Doctor, the Prince, and the whack job are like incarnations. They don't have to be alike at all. They don't know each other, but all of them bring back certain information. The Doctor brought, you know, was compassion. The Prince was leadership. The whack job was whatever the whack job's doing. So in this life, what this personality is bringing back to the soul is the understanding that women are worth more than their bodies. The ability to bring psychic information out in a world where it's not completely accepted. Understanding that I, as a female, am worth more than what my body is. And part of what I went through in this life to learn that is I've done the cancer dance three times. And all of it's been breast cancer. And I used to literally have a Dolly Parton figure, but after everything they did to me, I'm now a fat fire plug with permanent side effects. Am I still me? Yes. Am I a better me? I honestly think so. And that level of trauma makes me a better and more compassionate counselor and teacher. So I don't look at, oh, poor me. I deal with it like the examined life. This is a horrible thing and I don't want it, but I can't avoid it. So what can I learn from it? My next question for me is always, how can I teach with it? And then you say, next. You don't stay stuck in the old story. That's how the soul learns and moves forward.
Gotcha. It by the way, is just so I'm clear, are past lives the same as believing in life after death? Or are those two different things?
They're both components. Life after death is life between lives. That is that we don't, you know, our existence doesn't snuff out. But where is the Bible correct? Because, you know, they all go, we only have one life, they say. Well, it's because you and I, we are a coat that the soul takes off.
Okay.
The more we reach compassion, kindness, healing and love, the more we're in our full soul selves. And the more the soul's going to keep that part when we leave. For instance, my father, he was a fabulous cardiologist. Occasionally when I do medical intuitive stuff, he'll come in. What comes down? Well, he still has his terrible ability to pun. Still does dad jokes. His compassion, his medical insight, his intelligence, that all comes down. What dissipated because it was useful only for the personality and not for the soul? His depression, his anxiety, and his hypochondria, gone.
Wow.
So that's, and when people say, but they won't remember me, I say, okay, do you remember fourth grade? Well, little bits. Remember how important everything was for you in the fourth grade, and that was life? Yeah. Well, do you feel agonized because you don't remember what was important to you in fourth grade? No, I've grown past that. That's what will happen with us.
Gotcha.
The soul takes the coat off, puts it in the closet, takes from us what we brought to it. But just as my father's soul has way moved on, his soul will put on the Dr. Dorkin suit to come see me. Okay. And it feels just like that.
So just because one believes in life after death or past lives, does that necessarily mean that one also believes in a supreme being or a god?
Don't know. I don't believe in anybody who sits on a throne. Okay. There, I tend to think there is one singular immanence that is so beyond our comprehension that it's like, and I think I've said this to you before, it's like taking an ant to a calculus class. Not only does it not even know basic arithmetic, but it can't hold the pencil in its little paw.
No,
it's can't. Not going to get it. And so the things that we do, however we see God, whether it's God or Allah or Christ or the goddess or whatever, that's because the ant is trying to cram some kind of information and understanding into the pea brain.
Yeah.
But the way I explain it is, it's like God owns the grocery store and it doesn't care if you come in through the florist, the deli, or health and beauty, just get in there.
Okay.
There is an immanence that loves us, but what form it takes, I have no idea.
Gotcha. What kind of like, for people who are skeptics, I guess this is a two-parter, but there are people who are skeptics, and what do you say to them? And two, what misconceptions do people have about past lives?
They think that everybody has to have been famous. You know, the joke I tell you is, I can't tell you how many women come to me and say, I must have been Anne Boleyn because I can't wear turtlenecks. No. But also, you don't need to know all of your lives, especially if they don't have any meaning for you now. If you're a janitor in Des Moines and all of a sudden you do a past life and realize you're Napoleon Bonaparte, you really gonna still want to partner with a mop? No. So on the other hand, if there is a situation in your life that needs healing, then that's when you want to know about the past lives. If it's things like, why do I do a lot of self-sabotaging? Why do I have, you know, trouble with my mother? Why can I not find a relationship? I always choose the wrong kind of people. Some of those things may indeed have a past life key. And when people understand what that key is, it gives them a way to unravel the pain and choose differently.
So I have to know this too. On our past lives, which are, I guess, in the past, but is time linear? In other words, the next time I come back, will I come back in the 15th century or will I come back in the 23rd century?
Time is a web, not a line, but I can't explain too much more than that. That's all for the quantum physicists.
Okay.
Also, we have apparently tissue universes. You and I are happening in 37 other universes right now. Mm-hmm. So those are ways of living our lives differently. In that life, for instance, the crux point for me was a very difficult situation with my mother, who was an alcoholic at age 16. I chose to go one way in this life, which engendered a lot of trauma. In another universe, I might have chosen differently, which meant that my life was, you know, practically 1950s, everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those are valid lives to my soul, who can deal with all of them at once.
Gotcha. We have to, I have to learn some more about Corby Midlife. We're going to play a little game called This or That. And okay. I'm going to give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but you can't choose neither or both. And they're going to start out super simple questions, and then we'll go on to maybe a little tougher, and eventually we'll do some thought-provoking stuff. So,
okay.
The easy questions, tarot or oracle cards?
Tarot, because more people understand them, though my oracle cards are useful for other things.
Okay. How about, this is a weird question, how about past lives or future lives?
Past lives. I want my future to be open and fluid.
Okay. Spirit guides or guardian angels?
For me, probably spirit guides. Okay. But as I explain spirit guides to people, they're spirit guides and angels are like a donut. All angels are spirit guides, not all spirit guides are angels. Spirit guides grow and change as we do.
Gotcha.
Angels are with us birth to death.
Gotcha. By the way, when people think of psychics, one of the things they think of is crystal balls. But I'll ask you this first, and then I want you to explain. Crystal ball or palm reading?
Crystal ball, because all it is a point of focus.
Okay.
The crystal ball in and of itself is not magic, but it allows you to look at something and unfocus your eyes and be able to get the visions.
Okay.
And I know zip about palmistry.
There you go. You answered my question. I wanted to know if they were still a thing and why they were a thing. So thank you for that. How about soulmates or twin flames?
Soulmates.
Okay.
We don't always meet our twin flame. We don't. Mm. Sometimes we have things to do down here and our twin flame would get in the way. Soulmates are our core team. We don't always marry them. My father was a soulmate. My husband is a soulmate, but my last one wasn't. They're the people that help us get through life with a good sense of humor and knowing someone has our back.
Gotcha. How about, go a little harder, how about karmic debt or karmic reward?
Neither one of them is a thing. Okay. Karmic challenge. Yes. Okay.
Explain that.
Okay. Karmic debt, karmic reward thinks bad karma and good karma, carrot and stick, and that's not the case.
Okay.
Karma, as we learned with Rob, is five things: healing, service, contrast, unbalanced energy, or healing of beliefs. So what may look like bad karma to you because, like, you know, Ryan White, the kid who had AIDS from a blood transfusion before it was really understood. Then he became friends with Elton John. Elton played at his funeral. He inspired Elton to get sober. Elton started the Elton John AIDS Foundation, which has raised $500 million for AIDS research. So looking at Ryan's life is not bad karma or good karma. Ryan's life was the karma of service. He was a courageous soul. And the soul said, tough life, short life, but look what we can do for the world.
Ah, nice. I like that view of karma. How about as far as readings, individual readings or group readings?
I like individual readings because then we can do the deep drill down. I do not do, you know, two sentences. If you say, I'm looking at this house in Boca Raton, Florida, is it a good house? I don't pull three cards. I have an 11 card spread that explains all of the energies, the housing, the spirituality, the neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. Awesome. In a group reading, it's little bites. Group lectures, those I love. They're fun. But reading, it's individual.
Okay. We didn't talk about soul contracts. But are they breakable or non-breakable?
I don't see soul contracts. That's not.
Okay.
Remember, contracts are the idea of you have to do something. The soul is all about choice. The soul chooses to come down and learn certain things. We agree to be, you know, part of other people's lives, but that is an agreement. It's not a contract. Mm-hmm. I don't see that it's anything we'll be punished for breaking. Everything is useful. Everything is learnable. And everything is useful to the soul when it comes back.
Okay. Talk about something thought-provoking for a minute. Who's easier to read, a stranger or someone you know?
A clearer read will be a stranger. Okay. Because when we know someone, especially if we love them, like our best bud, our ego can't totally disengage. We want the best for them. So, and with a stranger, it's complete download. Whatever we get is what we get. And it's not tainted by, oh, I hope that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Let me ask you this then. What about, what's harder? Talking to the dead or the living? Because you do mediumship also.
For me, it's talking to the dead because it's a different part of my brain and it uses a whole different part of energy. You know, theater major, I can talk to fire hydrants, baby. That's easy.
Back to karma for a second. What's more most impactful, ancestral karma or personal karma?
I believe it's personal karma You can work with generational karma, yes, ancestral karma, but personal karma is what people understand most. So that's where they're going to work first.
Okay. Couple more. Mm-hmm. What's more important to soul growth, love or suffering?
Love. Because remember what I said, the more we can love, be compassionate, the less we're stuck in our personality, which goes away.
Gotcha.
So love is much better.
Okay. Last one. Would you choose to know your past lives if you could forget this one?
Never.
No? You want to do the...
I love, as traumatic as this life has been, looking at myself today, what I've got, what I can contribute to the world, I am supremely warm inside, knowing I'm exactly where I want to be. I would awesome. Not want to forget this one at all.
Okay. Well, I want people to remember you also. So let's give them some high-tech ways to get in touch with you through the internet. Mm-hmm. We've got your website. And for everyone that's listening as opposed to reading it on the screen, that's CorbyMitlide.com. That's Corby, C-O-R-B-I-E. Mitlide, M-I-T-L-E-I-D. So CorbyMitlide.com. And there's also CorbyMitlide.medium.com. And with Medium, that's where you're writing, I'm guessing.
That's where I write. That's correct. I'm on Facebook, okay. YouTube, Instagram, and Patreon.
Gotcha. We got you on Facebook. Go ahead.
Yep. The most important thing about talking about past lives today mm-hmm. is every October, because it's Halloween, I always do a past life special. So if you want to know what your past lives are, once a year, I do them separately from all, you know, the other more complicated readings. So from October 1st to the 31st, you can go to my website, see the past life special, and you can have 20 minutes with me where we can figure out your phobias, your obsessions, the people and places that are important to you.
That is awesome. Awesome. On Facebook, you're over at Fire Through Spirit. Mm-hmm. And through is spelled T-H-R-O-U-G-H, not T-H-R-O-U.
Like we were taught in third grade, yes.
Right. Fire Through Spirit. And you do have your YouTube at mm-hmm. Corby Mitlide. And Instagram right. is a little different, guys. It's Corby_Mitlide. And, of course, yes. you're also over at Patreon, Corby Mitlide. So if anyone can't find you, just Google Corby Mitlide. You're out there.
You got it. That's exactly right.
All right. I want to thank you so much for being here on Funny Way of Looking. This has been amazingly eye-opening, and I love it when we learn something new. So thank you for that.
I had a great time, Michael. Thank you for asking me over.
I love it, and I have to think about something for Halloween. Who knows what that could be. So lots of cool stuff. Everyone out there, you can also find us on funnywayoflooking.news. You'll get our newsletter over there, and it takes you right to our website also. So thank you very much, and I will see you in the future. Oh, one final thing that we actually do is for all the psychics out there, go to psychicschoice.com, and we send you people so that you actually can do more readings for people, and give me a call or just hit me up on psychicschoice.com, and we'll get you in touch with a lot more customers for yourselves. How about that?
Okay.
Corby, we will see you in the future. This has been amazingly fun. And we'll have to do it again. Okay. Bye, everybody.